We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
A whole lot of time, good opponent at their place, a lot of tradition. Be an opportunity for us to put our best foot forward, and they're a good opponent. I think they lead the NFC East, well coached, a lot of weapons on that football team, on that roster. So it'll be a big challenge for us.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott on the Dallas Cowboys. The Bills will practice today, and Sean McDermott will speak to the media at 5 o'clock. It's a quick turnaround, so they will be getting ready for that as quickly as possible. Sal Capaccio here in the Extra Point Show, WGR Sports Radio 550. It's a nice Sunday yesterday. Bills win, Sabres win. That was nice yesterday, right? I didn't really watch much of the Sabres game. I turned it on here and there. I didn't even see any of the goals. I have to go back and watch. I was too busy writing my stuff, getting ready for today. Played pretty well, Brayden? What?
Yeah, I mean, Florida got a lot of the chances, but yeah. I mean, Buffalo still got the goals that they needed, and they responded every which way that Florida kind of was trying to throw punches at them. Buffalo
sounded like a reverse of the game the other night when they lost, but seemed like they were, you know, playing well. And who did they play the other night?
Boston.
Boston. And Rask stood on his head.
Yes.
Like, it sounded like kind of a reverse of that game.
Yes, exactly.
Where one goalie stole one game, but your goalie stole this game. Right? So that's good. Eichel, 3 more points, was it? Did I write that?
Yeah. Today? Yep. Another 3-point night for him. Victor Olofsson scored. Jeff Skinner scored. Zemgus Girgensons had 2 goals.
And they're back at it today.
Yes.
Tonight, right?
In Tampa.
In Tampa tonight.
And the Lightning might not have Steven Stamkos tonight. Lower body injury.
Are they still kind of struggling? They're like hovering around 500
still?
Yeah,
they're still behind Buffalo in the standings, which is a bit surprising.
Yeah, and after, I mean, they're familiar with them after the Sweden trip, but unfortunately a couple of losses there. But Sabres Lightning tonight at 7, so we'll have all of that for you right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Where we got Monday Night Football tonight?
It's the Rams and Ravens in Los Angeles.
I know where we got that at. We're just going to be carrying that?
I believe it'll be on ESPN 1520.
I believe so, too. Just making sure everybody knows where to find it, because we'll have the Sabres game over here.
Yeah,
so just making sure on that. So we'll let you know. But in the meantime, we'll have all your Buffalo Football Monday elements here on WGR Sports Radio 550 as we go forward today. The Bills with a big win over the Denver Broncos. It really kind of moves the needle even further towards the playoffs in the AFC, you know? And that's really what the goal has got to be here. Get to the playoffs. Lock this thing down. Now that they're in this position, and, you know, it just goes to show you every year how really tough it is. I mean, they're playing well. They're 8-3, and yet people are still on edge. Like, come on. Get this thing to the garage, as Bulldog would say. But I'll also say it's partly because they aren't going to win the division unless New England falters. That's, you know, most teams in this position, they have 2 ways to make the playoffs. Division or wild card. Most teams that are 8-3 right now, you look. Let's take a look at the NFL standings. Who's 8-3 right now? Baltimore's 8-2 playing tonight. They're leading their division. Houston leads their division at 7-4. Kansas City leads their division at 7-4. Dallas leads their division at 6-5. Green Bay, same record as the Bills, leads their division, 8-3. Then you do have San Fran at 10-1, and you have New Orleans, 9-2, one game better than the Bills. I mean, it seems like it's such a struggle to get there, even though they're 8-3. A big reason is because there's only one way to get there, where these other teams, they can win their division or maybe get a wild card berth. They have 2 different avenues to get there. That's not the case for the Bills. They're in division with the Patriots. We know how much they've owned the division over the last whatever years. What, 17 straight seasons of 10 wins or more? I think it is something like that. I don't know. But they broke the record. Is it 17 straight, 10 wins. It might have been 10 years, 10 straight. I don't know. But whatever it is, 10 wins. That's why it's harder. That's why, because New England is there and you have one way to do it. But here's the good news. All right, I'll tell you the good news about that. That makes it tougher. But every time this comes up, when people call, they tweet, discussions. By the way, tweet me, at Sal Sports. I'm getting closer. I got 87,000 followers. Need to get to 100. Get me to 100,000 followers on Twitter, will you? I need like 13,000 more. I'm getting close. Then I can brag a little bit more on the radio. Not like I already don't enough brag about things, but, you know, according to a lot of you, I do all the time. But that's okay. I'm going to brag about that. Give me 100,000 Twitter followers. Anyway, so standings in the AFC. Here's what's cool about it is whenever someone says, hey, watch out for Browns, watch out for Raiders, watch out for Steelers, Titans, whatever it is, let's remember here, it would take two teams to catch the Bills to get them out of a playoff spot. Not one team. They're in the fifth spot. They have a two-game lead over the sixth and the seventh and eighth and ninth spots, by the way, because there's four teams tied at 6-5. So as much as even if Cleveland continues to stay hot and they have this softer schedule, we see it, even if that happens and they do have the head-to-head against the Bills and they wind up getting that spot, another team would still have to catch the Bills in the process to knock them out. That's why I like the position they're in. They're not in yet. They have a long way to go still. They have tough games. They still have to win games, take care of business in their own right. But it still takes two teams, not one, to get them out of there. And if you do think a team like Cleveland, let's say, for example, could be the team to catch the Bills and you're worried about that, well, in order for them to do that, they probably have to beat Pittsburgh. They play them this week. So that would give Pittsburgh another loss. And then the Bills do play Pittsburgh. So let's reverse it. Let's say Pittsburgh's the team you're worried about. Say the Bills lose this week, Pittsburgh beats the Bills. But that means Pittsburgh would have to beat Cleveland for them to kind of jump and get into that spot. You see, this is the advantage of getting to this spot. All these teams are playing each other. Indianapolis, the Colts, they do not have an easy schedule. And they're kind of, you know, trying to stay afloat right now. But you look at Indy's schedule. Let me look at some of these AFC team schedules. They're playing Tennessee. There's another one this week. These two teams are both 6-5. Someone's getting a loss. They still have at Tampa, but then they go at New Orleans. They get Carolina. They get at Jacksonville. Yeah, winnable games, but tough games as well. Houston, let's look at them. They got New England. They got the Broncos. They got the Titans. Twice. Just hope those teams split with each other. These teams are going to cannibalize each other. How about the Raiders? Now, they do have a little bit of a softer schedule compared to some of the other teams. But after yesterday, going on the road and getting just completely destroyed by the Jets, and then now looking at their schedule, you think, eh, not as easy as you thought. They're in Kansas City this coming week. Then they get the Titans. There's another game between two teams tied at 6-5. Wow. How about the Titans? Hold on. Let me check their schedule for a second. So the Bills already beat the Titans, but how about this? The Titans last five games, four of them are against teams that they are currently tied with in the standings, right? I think that's right. What is Houston right now? No, Houston's 7-4, but they play them twice. They play Houston twice at 7-4. They play... Let's get back to this again. Let me do this one more time. Here's Tennessee's schedule the rest of the way. That's why I think that, you know, as much as, yes, it is, oh boy, get this thing home. Like, don't let this team catch you. All these other teams are playing each other. If one team does, they have to give losses to the other teams. And you need two teams to still catch the Bills. I like the spot they're in. They get the Colts, they're 6-5. They get the Raiders, they're 6-5. They get Houston twice, who are 7-4, and they're fighting for a division. If you just want to concede the division to Houston and let them beat these teams, that's fine too. And then you look at who the Bills could play in the playoffs. I don't care right now. Like, I don't really don't care who they would play. Let those chips fall where they may. And then you prepare for that team. I am not in the mode at all right now to think, I know some of you are, I know some of our hosts are, people talk about it. Who would they play in the playoffs? Who do you want to play? I don't care about that right now. Just get in. And then you prepare for that team. It's the same thing it was in 2017. I didn't even know until we were in the locker room interviewing players after that, you know, the Cincinnati miracle that got the Bills in the playoffs 2 years ago. Locker room's going nuts in Miami. Media goes in. We know the Bills are in. We're interviewing players. And then someone said, yeah, Jacksonville is the team. And I thought, oh, I should have known that. I didn't even think about it because I'm just thinking they're in. They broke the drought. In this situation, I'm just thinking, get in. And then we figure out who they're supposed to play. But again, yeah, I mean, you don't want to lose five games. You don't want to go 1-4. Even 2 and 3 would be a little dicey to get to 10. And then you're like, yeah, I think 10 gets them in, but it's got to be the right 10. I think 10 gets them in. But if you get to 10, there could be a team out there that could catch you. The question is, there are two teams out there that can catch you. That's the point I'm making. And that's why I think you should feel good about it, about where they are. You should also feel good about the way they're playing, how they played yesterday. And I think they match up fairly decent with the Dallas Cowboys and have a chance to win. And if you haven't seen, if you haven't been reading, I should say, some of the comments from Cowboys owner Jerry Jones yesterday. Excuse me. Some of the comments from Jerry Jones yesterday after his team lost at New England, he is ticked off. He's putting it all on coaching. He's basically calling out the coaching staff, saying he's disappointed that they're in this situation. They shouldn't be, considering the talent they have on the roster, essentially paraphrasing what he's saying. He directly called out coaching because of the special teams gaffes they had yesterday, including a blocked punt like the Bills had against New England, including a kickoff that almost not fielded. And they're going to feel the heat. So here we go with a team that's going to be feeling the heat in 4 days, maybe playing to save their coach's job. I don't know if he would go down that road if they lost. Jason Garrett's got a lot of heat on him. He's going to have to try and do something to turn it around. I like the fact, though, that if that's the situation, it is a quick turnaround against an unfamiliar opponent. You get Dallas on Sunday after Jerry's saying all this stuff, then it could be a bit different. But you get him on Thursday, quick turnaround. I think now, you know, at least they don't have a chance to kind of rally and really get into the weeds of things to fix maybe what their problems are and what they were yesterday. And the reason I say I think the Bills do have some matchups with the Cowboys that I'm not going to say, oh, I love the matchup. I'm saying, though, that I think there are some things that they can do. The Cowboys, even though they have Ezekiel Elliott, their strength really has been throwing the ball this year. That's what their strength has been. In fact, I don't know if you realize it, the Dallas Cowboys have the number one passing offense in all of football right now. They're averaging, throwing the ball, 303 yards a game. They're averaging over 8.3 yards per play through the air. Those are great numbers. They're running the ball well, though. They're a top 10 offense running the football. 8th in yards per game, 130. 9th in yards per play, 4.6, basically. They're the number one offense overall in all of football as far as yards. And as far as points, they're the 6th best, 26.8. But the Bills, to me, are more vulnerable against teams that are going to try and bully you up, if you will. Get big, smash you in the face, up the middle. I think those are the teams that will give the Bills more problems than teams that are going to rely on throwing the ball more. And yes, they do have Zeke, and yes, they do have a good offensive line. Not dismissing that at all. But I think trying to move the ball through the air as your primary weapon is a tougher task against this Bills defense and gives them a better opportunity. Dak is having a great year. Dak Prescott. He has very good wide receivers. I would think, I don't know, the Bills would use Tre'Davious White on Amari Cooper. Yesterday in New England, the Patriots used Stephon Gilmore in that role, and he was held to zero catches for the first time in his career with Dak Prescott as his quarterback. That's how much he's relied on. And with the way that Tre'Davious White is playing, I think Tre'Davious obviously can win that matchup. So that leaves Michael Gallup. That leaves Randall Cobb against Levi Wallace, Kevin Johnson, whatever combination there, rotation, and then Taron Johnson, who I think played really well yesterday, by the way. Someone called earlier and said that. I agree. Dallas also has some injuries, though. And on defense is where they're, I think, a little bit more vulnerable. The Bills might be able to run on this team on Thursday. They're middle of the pack on defense, stopping the run. They're top 6 and top 5, respectively, in passing per game and per play. So they're a top 10 overall defense, but I do think there's some cracks in the armor there that the Bills can take advantage of on defense. on their defense. And one of them is, it looks like right now, Leighton Vander Esch is not going to be available. Outstanding linebacker, drafted in the same class as Tremaine Edmonds. Some thought the Bills should have waited and just got Leighton Vander Esch. But look, there were some injury concerns coming out of college for Leighton Vander Esch. And now he does have, and I think it might even been a neck injury. Now he has some sort of neck/back injury that they're evaluating, and it appears he's not going to be available to play against the Bills on Thursday. That's a huge loss. They also have a safety. Yesterday, Heath, who got injured against the Patriots, I don't know if he came back in, but he's been dealing with a shoulder, and he had a great play where he broke up a ball and drilled somebody with his shoulder, and then he came up and was hurting after it. It's a quick turnaround. So I do think there's some opportunity for the Bills to do some things against the Dallas Cowboys on the offensive side, for the Bills' offensive side. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be great watching this. I'm very much looking forward to it. 803-0550, 888-550-2550 if you want to jump on board the Extra Point Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. One more time, a programming reminder. Thursday is the game. Obviously, Friday, I will be back on the air here, 10 to 12, doing this exact same thing we're doing right now on the Extra Point Show. If you go to me, if you go to WGR550.com, you can read my arrow up, arrow down arrow down column. And the first thing I list as an arrow up is the defense. I want to tell you and give you some numbers in case you didn't know on the defense yesterday. Because in the arrow up, arrow down column, I could have listed all of the things that everybody did so well separately, but because I didn't want the list to be longer than my five-year-old son's Christmas list, I just kind of condensed it into one. By the way, a five-year-old's Christmas list is pretty long. Max actually doesn't have the longest list. It's only a few things on it right now, but it kind of gets longer all the time. And he always tells me, Dad, I got to add that. I got to add that. Tell Santa I want that. Dad, did you already send my list off to Santa? I got to add this to it. So it's always growing. But here's the list of things the Bills defense did yesterday, or maybe rightfully said the Broncos offense did or didn't do yesterday. Pretty amazing. The Broncos yesterday had only 49 net yards passing. That includes sacks that go against you. 49. Because that's a passing play and it didn't work out, so they went backward. They had 49 net passing yards. They had 85 total rushing yards for a total of 134 total yards. Very low number. The Broncos yesterday went only 2 for 11 on third downs against the Bills. That's 18%. This number is astonishingly low. The Broncos yesterday averaged only 2.91 yards per play against the Bills. That is a minuscule number in the NFL. I'll tell you how minuscule that is. 2.91 yards per play is the fourth lowest total for any team in any NFL game this season. Normally, teams average about 5.5, 6 yards a play in an NFL game. And I think that's even like average. Like I said, not high. They average 2.9 yards per play, the fourth lowest of any team in any game this season. It's the lowest total for any Bills opponent since 2016. The Broncos offense yesterday went 3 and out on 5 straight possessions to end the game. In fact, their last 5 drives, here are the Broncos' last 5 drives of the game. Ready? 3 plays, 7 yards. 3 plays, -3 yards. 3 plays, -9 yards. 3 plays, 7 yards. 3 plays, 0 yards. The Broncos offense did not take a single snap inside the Bills' red zone yesterday. Closest they got, I believe, was the 25. The Broncos had 7 of their 10 possessions finish. Out of 10 possessions they had in the game, 7 of them finished on their own side of midfield. There is one word for all of this. Domination. domination. That's what they did yesterday on defense. I wrote about it all at WGR550.com. You can go and check it out. That was a fun game to be at. I thought it'd be a much bigger struggle for the Bills than it wound up being. Not the case, though. It was kind of a, hey, controlled from the beginning type of game. We'll take more of your phone calls on the other side. Before I do that, though, I want to tell you here that if you're physically active, you don't have to play football to end up on the inactive list. Lots of other sports and activities out there can take place in the fall for you, a loved one, that can result in an injury. So, if anybody you know is sidelined with a sprain, strain, or break, yourself included, obviously, get to Excelsior Orthopedics Express. It's never been easier, quicker, or less expensive to get the care you need, and that's because Excelsior Orthopedics Express has changed the way that you receive care for injuries to your muscles, your bones, and your joints. At Excelsior Orthopedics Express, you can skip the ER or general urgent care center and see a specialist right away. It's one stop, one copay. You walk out with everything you need. It's imaging, casting, splints. They have everything. Open weekdays and evenings, also Saturdays. Excelsior Orthopedics Express is on Sheridan Drive in Amherst, Niagara Falls Boulevard near the airport, and then their newest location is near the stadium, just off Mile Strip Road near the 219 in Orchard Park. You can call 250-9999 to get the care you need at Excelsior Orthopedics Express. You can also text the word ORTHO, that's O-R-T-H-O, to 550-550 to learn more about exciting and rewarding careers with Excelsior Orthopedics Express or Buffalo Surgery Center. It's the place to go for a great career. Once again, text ORTHO, O-R-T-H-O, to 550-550. Text and data rates apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, Sal Capaccio back here on the Extra Point Show. Let me tell you about my friends over at Northland Workforce Training Center. We all know football players don't like to spend the season on the bench, right? Well, you can earn 30 to 50 grand a year when you spend the season training for advanced manufacturing and energy positions behind the bench at Northland Workforce Training Center. Northland Workforce Training Center is officially open at their state-of-the-art facility at 683 Northland in the city of Buffalo. You can go in, you can check out their pre-enrollment sessions any Tuesday at 6 p.m., Wednesday at 10 a.m., or Thursday at 4 p.m. Find out how easy and inexpensive it is to train for a new career. Once you're done learning, getting on the field is simple. Just complete your training, and Northland is going to place you in a job making 30 to 50 grand a year. Get a starting position when you spend the season behind the workbench training for jobs in advanced manufacturing or energy. There's dollars to be made in the skilled trades. Northland Workforce Training Center. They have the training. All they need is you. Go to northlandwtc.org. Got time for a few phone calls. You want to jump on board. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. Sal Capaccio here in the Extra Point Show on WGR Sports Radio 550. Tre'Davious White, amazing yesterday. I mean, he continues to get better every week. He was given the task of shadowing Broncos number one wideout Courtland Sutton. He shut him down all game. Sutton had one catch on eight targets. But he also, by the way, not just shut him down and made sure he couldn't get anything. He got hands on footballs himself. Knocked several away, four of them actually. Picked off a pass. Had three tackles. Just becoming such a complete player, and we already know how great of a shutdown corner he's becoming. Matt Milano, all over the field. tied for the team lead with 6 tackles, 1 for a loss, credited with 3 quarterback hurries, excellent in coverage. He's a very good coverage linebacker. 3 pass breakups. I think one of them was batted down. And how about Bills rookie running back Devin Singletary? Over 100 yards for the first time in his career. He gained 106 on 21 carries. He averaged 5.0 yards a carry. And in his last 5 games, Singletary's averages, you ready? 6.3, 4.8, 5.3, 5.0, 5.0. He's averaging 5.8 yards per carry on the season, which leads all qualifying NFL running backs. You actually have to have enough carries to qualify for the stats. So don't tell me, well, he doesn't have enough carries. Yeah. You actually have to average 6.25 per team game, which adds up to 64. He has, or 68. He has 84 in the year, and he actually has more carries than the number 3 guy on the list, and the number 4 guy on the list, and the number 6 guy on the list, which, oh, by the way, is LeSean McCoy. But just having an outstanding season, rookie year, it's fun watching him run. Let's go to Tony in Buffalo. Hi, Tony. You're on WGR. What's up?
Hey, Sal. What's going on? You know, I just want to talk a little bit about Brandon Bean, man. I know that, you know, the easy thing to say about him is that it'll always be tied to Allen and the success that he has and ultimately the wins and the losses. But, you know, if you're someone who enjoys kind of digging beneath the surface a little bit, as I'm sure you do and I like to as well, if you look at the way he built this team, it is really an impressive job, one that I hope has him in the conversation for Executive of the Year. And I'll give you a few of my faves, and you can jump on any that you may like. I'll start at running back real quick, where even despite having LeSean McCoy and being okay at the position, he had a vision for it, went and executed the vision that seems to be working perfectly right now, getting the old guard in Gore and then drafting a younger player for Gore to groom, and the two of them have developed exactly, you know, the sort of bond that I think he envisioned. Yesterday really jumped out at me on the O-line. We lose Nasecki last week and Morse during the course of the game. And, you know, and those are two of your biggest signings, at least as far as average, salary term. And we didn't miss a beat, with Feliciano and Long on the interior and obviously the drafting of a Ford on the outside. I mean, that's very good depth that teams just can't do when they lose players of that caliber. And the other thing, the last thing I like too is, you know, being able to spell a struggling young player in Ed Oliver or Levi Wallace with guys like Kevin Johnson and some of the depth that they had at defensive tackle, even after losing Harrison Phillips. Those are luxuries that other teams and other rosters can't afford to do without the depth. I think Bean's done an exceptional job, and I think this is just as good a time as any to recognize him.
No, I appreciate it. And I think your O-line point is one that has to be recognized today. I mean, they already started the game, like you said, not having Ty Nsekhe. They put Cody Ford against Von Miller the entire game. After just one series, Mitch Morse hurts his finger. He goes out of the game. John Feliciano has to go from guard to center. Spencer Long has to come in at guard. They were mixing and matching from the get-go. And then what do? They run for 244 yards. They average 5.2 yards a run against a team that have been allowing just 100 per game and under 3.9 a rush coming in. They also only allowed 1 sack the entire afternoon. Some of that was Allen and his scrambling ability, but Deion Dawkins, Quentin Spain, along with the guys I mentioned, did a great job. But I think this is when we should also recognize Bobby Johnson. You mentioned him, and I agree. Preparing, coaching this group all year, had a great plan Sunday against Von Miller, had a great game plan overall against a solid Broncos front. They did a really good job. Good call. Thank you for that. I think Brandon Bean does deserve credit for how he's built this roster. Let's go to Tom in NT. What's up, Tom?
Not much. How are you doing, Sal? First, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Thank you.
No, you'll be enjoying it down in Dallas. Well, I just want to talk. I've seen somebody in the last few weeks, and I know you've touched on it some, but Ed Oliver's game has really come around. I mean, he had the stupid penalty that notwithstanding yesterday, but not just the sacks. He's been disruptive. He's been everywhere, eating up blockers, blowing up the line, getting pressure up the middle of the line. I think the last few weeks he's really starting to come on, and is why they were doing backflips to get up there at number 9 and get him.
Yeah, he was a good player yesterday. He's had 3 good games in a row. I think he's finally figuring out. Lorenzo said it best when we played that clip earlier. Tom, thanks for the call, about him figuring things out and finally, you know, not finally, but riding the wave of the ups and downs of being a rookie. It happens, man. Everybody wants these rookies to come in and just be these dominant forces right away. Doesn't work like that all the time. Hardly does. I thought he played well yesterday as well. All right, should we get to sit up, stand down? We can do that here, right? You want to do that? And we'll do Hey Buddy in a little while. What am I sitting up on this week? I don't know. Did you see this story, Brayton? I don't know if you saw it. It was, remember the rule that was kind of being tossed around last year a little bit, which is, and they kind of shot it down immediately, which is the fourth down punt, fourth down rule, instead of having an onside kick, what a team could do. You didn't hear this?
No, I don't think I did.
Okay, so basically, the rule was, and I'm going to pull up the story again because it just came up again. There was a bit of a proposal. I say it wasn't fourth down rule, the onside kick rule. There was a bit of a proposal last year. And it was basically, since onside kicks are so tough now to recover, that maybe instead of having an onside kick, teams would be able to have an opportunity to basically go for the ball. Like, once you score a touchdown, instead of kicking onside kicks, you're not going to get it. You put the ball at your own 25-yard line, and you get a 4th and 15. One play.
Huh.
And if you convert, you get the first down. You keep the ball. If not, the other team gets it. That might be a better way to actually keep the ball. And here's my sit-up. They're actually going to maybe revisit this rule again this year. And there is momentum to maybe change the rule.
Okay.
I love it. I think this is, like, do something to get onside kicks, or I should say, an ability for a team losing to get the ball back. Create more drama. When a team is down two scores and they score with a minute and a half left, they have almost no chance to get the ball back now because onside kicks never work because of all the rules they made to not allow onside kicks to work.
I personally believe they should go back to the XFL rules, the old XFL rules, and just have someone go chase after the ball at midfield.
That'd be funny.
I'll exit stage left.
The proposal was rejected by NFL owners last offseason, a 4th and 15 to retain possession. And the way that was worded last time was you'd only get one chance to do it. You'd have to be trailing. No, man, make it any time. I don't know how they want to do it. I want this rule to happen. If anything, what I want is an ability for a team that's losing, that scores, to have an actual chance to get the ball back. Create drama in football games. Create drama in sports. You could tell me, well, you should have done enough earlier. Stop it. Yeah, you're right. What's wrong with having drama and an ability to get the ball back, though? The other team's got to stop you from that. How about that? I love it. Sit up on the fact that they're going to revisit this rule, man. That's cool. I like it. Read that story over the weekend. Let's, I do this a little bit reluctantly, but I think the signs have been pointing towards maybe this happening anyway, and I'm going to stand down right now on the Raiders. I'm going to stand down on the Raiders after that putrid performance they put together yesterday at the New York Jets. Derek Carr threw for only 127 yards. Josh Jacobs ran for only 34 yards. They were out of it from the very beginning. And now if you look at the Raiders' schedule, where they stand in the standings, they're actually on the outside looking in the playoffs. They're tied for that last wild card spot, but Pittsburgh has it right now due to tiebreakers. But if you look at the Raiders' schedule, it does not look nearly as soft, I guess, as we all thought a little bit earlier as people were reporting. Because now they have to go to Kansas City next week. Then they get Tennessee at home. Then they get Jacksonville at home. Then they got to go to the Chargers, who are playing much better football now. Well, they lost the other day when Phillip Rivers was really bad, but they've played better. And then they got to go to the Broncos. It is not super hard, but it is not super easy, especially the next few games. I just think we should stand down to the Raiders right now because of their defense and the fact that maybe all year they were a little bit, for some people, fool's gold, I guess. I don't know. Like I said, reluctantly, I don't want to bury them. I'm not burying the Raiders. But I don't think we should be giving them the praise and the hype, which is what stand down's about. Sit up on a team and something or something you like, hey, let's pay attention. Stand down on, giving them too much attention. I don't think they're quite to the hype a lot of people were giving them a little bit earlier, maybe a few weeks ago. So we're going to stand down on the Raiders. All right, we'll do Hey Buddy when we come back after this timeout. Before I get to the timeout, though, got to tell you about my friends at Losi and Ganji because they are my buddies, especially when I do the Facebook Live before games. Catch it on Thursday, Thanksgiving at Dallas. I should have someone from Losi and Ganji with me. They're making the trip out there to Dallas. That'll be fun. And we'll tell you all about them on the Facebook Live and preview the game. But in the meantime, you got to know that you've been injured at work. You can't go at it alone. You got to call them, Losi and Ganji. They work hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. They work hard so their clients receive the maximum settlement, like you, if you're injured. And they make sure you even get the small details handled properly. From making sure you're receiving your weekly benefits and your medical treatments to making sure you get your settlement. Last year, Losi and Ganji obtained over $22 million for hardworking Western New Yorkers. Now, while past results don't guarantee future outcomes, you deserve a hardworking team working for you and your best interest. For workers' comp and personal injury, call Losi and Ganji at 854-1446. Go online to losi-ganji.com. Losi and Ganji, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. More of the Extra Point Show. Hey, buddy, when we come back after this. All right, Excelsior Orthopedics Express. I've been telling you about them a lot. I'm going to tell you about them again because if you're physically active, you don't have to play football to end up on the inactive list. We'll get an inactive list for the game on Thursday. On Thursday, but we'll get, you know, injury reports leading up to that, right? Comes quick. There are lots of other sports and activities you can play, not just football, in the fall. You, a kid like I have, that can result in an injury. If you or a loved one is sidelined with a sprain, strain, or break, get to Excelsior Orthopedics Express. It's never been easier, quicker, or less expensive to get the care you need. Also, it's a place to go for a great career. To learn more about exciting and rewarding careers with Excelsior Orthopedics Express or Buffalo Surgery Center, text ORTHO, O-R-T-H-O, to 550-550. That's ORTHO to 550-550. Text and data rates apply. Excelsior Orthopedics Express is open on weekdays and evenings, also Saturdays, and they're on Sheridan Drive in Amherst, Niagara Falls Boulevard near the airport, and their newest location is serving the South Towns off Mile Strip near the 219 and Orchard Park. Call 250-9999 to get the care you need at Excelsior Orthopedics Express. Buffalo Football Monday rolls on after this. We got Murph and Tasker, One Bills Live, coming up right after this. They go till 3, Shopin' the Bulldog. I'll be down at the stadium today. There is practice. There is locker room availability for players. And then Sean McDermott at 5. We will have Micah Hyde, hopefully, at some point today with Shopin' the Bulldog. He'll be practicing, so he won't be on at his normal time at 4, but we'll keep you updated on that. Sabres right after that. We got pregame tonight. Got a game against the Tampa Bay Lightning. So a lot going on today on a Buffalo Football Monday. And a lot was going on yesterday at the stadium, including my buddy. Who's my buddy this week? Did you do an open for me?
I did not.
Okay, just making sure. I didn't know if you play. You're gonna play one or not.
I'm going to.
All right,
just
making sure.
Work on one here.
All right, so
for you for next week.
I think it's easy. My buddy is easy this week. Super easy. Did you watch yesterday the cool thing that happened with Frank Gore going over? You know what he needed 46 yards to pass Barry Sanders for third on the all-time list. How cool is it that Frank Gore is a Buffalo Bill and? He's just such a warrior. It's awesome watching him play. It's awesome watching him run. And for him to be able to get to third all-time and on his now his Pro Football Reference page, his someday what's going to be Hall of Fame bio, all of that, it's forever going to say Buffalo Bills attached to it. Now he's not going to, you don't, in football, you don't go into the hall as a member of a team, not like baseball. And even if you did, I'm sure he wouldn't be going in as a Buffalo Bill. It'd probably be the 49ers. I don't know. But the point is, he'll forever be attached to the Buffalo Bills. Let's go back to LeSean McCoy getting released and the surprise it was to a lot of people. Devin Singletary, they felt, could handle the workload. Frank Gore was still on the team. The Bills were made fun of by a lot of people. They were made fun of. But the Bills knew what they were doing with Frank Gore. And Frank Gore's having... You know what? He hasn't had a great last several games. He was pretty good yesterday, ran hard. Devin Singletary has rightfully taken over the lead role, it appears, lead back on the Bills' offense. But there is still definitely a spot for Frank Gore on the field, off the field, locker room, the way he's playing. It's just fun to watch him. It's cool to see. I'm glad he's a part of the Bills. I'm glad I got to be there. He was able to pass Barry Sanders for third on the all-time rushing list. You know what the all-time rushing list is? And by the way, I did look. He can't. He's not going to be able to get to two. I mean, he'd have to play a few more years. Probably have to play two more years at least. I don't see that happening, but he is Frank Gore, and he's played a long time. He's played for 15 years now. Walter Payton's next up on the list. Gore finished yesterday in his career with 15,289 yards. That's what he has. Walter Payton next up, 16,726. Emmitt Smith, 18,355. And we could say all we want. Yeah, longevity. Yep, that's right. Absolutely. What are you supposed to hide from that? He's played a long time. He's accumulated a lot of yards. He's also been really good. Has he ever been the greatest running back, like, to dominate the era? Nope. So if you think that that should dock him in some way, I guess. I don't know what to tell you. It's hard enough to play this game for 3 years or 4 years. The average NFL career is less than 4 years. This dude's been doing it for 15, getting pounded on, and always does it right. And he's still going. So you can give me all the longevity type stuff that you want. I'm here to tell you, that's impressive in itself. And yesterday, Frank Gore passed Barry Sanders in front of his home crowd in Buffalo for third on the all-time list. So he's my buddy, Frank Gore. Also, have another buddy today, I need to tell you. Tomorrow's my mom's birthday. So I want to say happy birthday to my mom tomorrow. She'll be whatever old. You don't want to say that. But tomorrow's her birthday. It's always tricky around Thanksgiving because my brother and I are always like, wait a minute, what day is mom's birthday? Because sometimes it's on Thanksgiving because Thanksgiving's not always the same day. My brother's always like, is the 24th, the 26th, or 28th? It's the 26th. Tomorrow's the 26th. Got to say happy birthday to my mom. She's my buddy. She's been my buddy a long time. She has supported me through all of the different career decisions I've made, good and bad, especially the good one to move back up here to Buffalo from when we were all in Florida. She was living down there, same, right around the corner from me. We were all, having a good time. And I'm like, hey, I'm going back to Buffalo. She's like, that's cool. So, Mom, you're my buddy. Happy birthday. Hope it's a good one. We have a lot more Bills coverage for you today. We got the game on Thursday. A lot coming your way. You got one Bills Live coming up here at noon. Thanks a lot for tuning in to the Extra Point Show. If you're on the air, hold on now. Hopefully Murph and Tasker will get to you as well. Sal Capaccio here, and I'll be talking to you a little bit later on with you down at the stadium with Sean McDermott at 5 p.m. Sabres tonight on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.